Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today we're going to be talking about story. More importantly, we're going to be talking about side door story. What is that? You may be asking yourself that. I was too, but I think you're going to love finding out what it is, how to use it, and how this is going to be a game changer in your business. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. So Jen Liddy left her high school teaching career to avoid a life doomed by grading crappy ninth grade Romeo and Juliet essays. In 2013, she made a terrifying leap into entrepreneurship and learned everything the hard way. Today, as a content creation specialist, Jen helps personal brands uncomplicate content and step off the content creation treadmill to get out of content chaos with strategies that easify, simplify, and make content feel good for you. And I love that because content creation can sometimes be something that could set you off on a spin, but we're going to uncomplicate it for you today. And we're going to talk a lot about story. So let's talk about Jen. Jen, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, it'll be fun. I'm excited, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, I'm really excited too. Yeah, I could actually see how grading ninth grade Romeo and Juliet essays would not be fun. I think what you're doing right now does sound like fun, getting off that treadmill. That sounds really exciting. So tell us a little bit about that. Here you were doing this, and when did the light bulb go off? What's your story that made you get from that to taking that terrifying leap?
I'll be brief because I'm 52, so there's a lot in there, right? But essentially, I was a high school teacher. I taught English, and then I taught at the college level. And I found that every day in the shower, I'd be washing my hair going, is it worth it to get a sub today? Is it worth it? Or should I just go in and do the thing? That was an indication for me that I was on the edge of burnout. I wasn't enjoying it anymore. And I love teaching. And if I didn't have to grade crappy essays, and if I didn't have to deal with parents, I would probably still be teaching. But I left teaching right before the onset of the smartphone. So when my students were playing with their phones under their desks, they were like texting with the, like pressing the 7, so like JKL. Remember how we used to have to text that way? So I can't even say that like technology drove me out of teaching, but definitely like the grading was grading. So I happened to be working with a personal trainer at the time who was really struggling to kind of take control of the back end of her business because she was really amazing in the front of the house. But in terms of organization and systems and communication and marketing and all of those things, that wasn't her strength. And I was like, oh, I'm a really linear thinker. I'm a really good communicator. I'm super organized. Let me help you. And by slowly taking on some roles with her, just in terms of trading and helping her, we wound up becoming partners. And I left teaching to step into this role as the operations and communications person for a brick and mortar fitness studio. And that's where I learned all of the things about entrepreneurship that you don't learn. And if you're a teacher, you certainly don't ever think you're going to be doing this stuff. So I learned in the hard way of having to figure it out. And of course, all of the inflammatory thoughts that I had about who am I to be doing this? I'm a teacher. I'm not a business person, but I had to learn these things. So when I learned them, I took them with me when I left that business. And frankly, when I left that business, I was like, I really want to work for myself. I really want to help creative women. Because what I saw when I was always working the front desk was my most creative clients at the fitness studio also usually had businesses, and they almost couldn't get out of their own way. And because I'm a super concrete sequential person, but my clients tend to think in highly creative circles in the ethers, I was like, oh, I can take your ideas and make them linear and we can put them into work. And as I started to do that for myself after I had left the fitness studio, I just leaned more and more into my expertise, which was teaching language, and boom, I'm a content creation specialist. So that's really all I do now. I don't do general business coaching or accountability coaching anymore. It's really just leaning into this lane of helping people get out of the content chaos, but to do it in a way that works for them. Because I think that's a superpower of teachers, is they are able to meet people where they are and take them where they want to go and differentiate it for them. There's not one size fits all way to do marketing, and there's not a one size fits all way to do the content piece of the marketing. So that's kind of how I got where I am now. And I really just leaned into my strengths.
I have to tell you, the thing you said there that stopped me in my track, it was like, stop the scroll. That was that when you said parents. I was like, it wasn't the teenagers. It was the parents. I mean, like that. I was like, what? But I guess I can get it. I guess I get that. But I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, man. Teenagers hitting this JK whatever. And I think at that time they made noise when they did that too. And I'm like, oh, that must have been tough. So I could definitely see how that would have been the treadmill for sure. And why you might have thought that maybe you need a sub. So I totally get that. It's really funny because for me, when I get in the shower, I actually have markers in my shower and I get some of my best ideas in the shower. I actually would forget, I'm showing my age now sometimes, like I get distracted and I don't call it squirrel though. I call it brilliant idea syndrome. And you get them. And so I finally literally put markers in my shower so I could write on the walls of my shower so that then when I get out, dry off, I can be like, okay, what were those great ideas I had? But yeah, there they are.
That's so smart. The other place I think really creative people need something like that is in their car, because that's where I get all of my ideas too. And that's why I always have my phone with me. And actually, a lot of times content ideas come while you're in the shower in the car. And so getting them onto a note is so valuable.
Actually, it's really funny that you say that, because a long time I did it this way. Now I use my phone too, but I used to carry a handheld little recorder. And literally now, every time I get in the car alone, I can't believe I'm actually admitting this, but really honestly, my husband's, you talk to yourself. I'm like, sometimes I need to talk to an expert. But when I get in the car, thank God people talk so much through their car phones that when I'm talking, they're like, nobody's in the car. Who's she talking to? Because I'm really talking to myself. But I'm going to tell you, I think of that through my speeches, like all my stuff. And I record, and I have found that when I didn't do that, I would think about it. And then when I come home and go to write it down, I'm like, no, that's the concept, but I said it so much better in the car. Yeah. And so then I would just record it, and maybe you're going to get five words and then you're just going to erase. But those five words were the five words. Totally. Oh yeah, you're right. Shower, car. That's where all the brilliance happens.
Totally.
So funny. So on that note, so let's talk about content. So I feel like content creation. I think that right now, when I just said that word, I don't know how many people out there just went, because that's how we feel when we think about content creation, right? We have so many thoughts in our head and so many ways that we want to serve and so many things we want to say that we don't know how to say it. Like, how should I create it? What should I do? Sometimes you're an educator. Sometimes you're more creative. Now you have all these pieces and, oh, let's not even talk about what your strategy is going to be on how you're going to put it out. Like, there's so many different components. So before we go there, I always love to know what not to do as much as I love what to do. And I always like thinking about what are the myths? Like, what are the, if we want to use the word story, I'm going to say, what's the BS stories that we're telling ourselves? What are the myths and the BS stories that you hear over and over again? And let's just bust those right now first.
I literally was going to talk. I'm so glad you asked me this question because I was going to dive into this. So the first thing I want everybody to think about is how at capacity you feel right now. The number of messages you are taking in every day, the amount of overwhelm you feel in your life, your audience feels that too. So the first thing that you can do to ease some of your content frustration is to merely start saying less. And this doesn't matter what platform you're on. if you're a TikTok or a Reels person, you know that you've got between 16 and 32 seconds to get their attention. And that's pretty much people's capacity. But maybe instead you are on LinkedIn, or you have an email, or maybe you have a podcast or blog. But if you are constantly feeling like you need to come up with a huge caption for your Instagram post or a 45-minute solo podcast episode, I want you to know you don't. Your audience can't even consume at the pace that they're subscribed to a lot of podcasts, and they can't even consume it all. So you're allowed to say less. Have it be more impactful. Reach them with the messaging that's just so clear for what they need, but it doesn't need to go on and on. So I ironically took a really long time to say less. So that's the first myth. You don't need to say less. Another thing is, every time you think, oh my God, I need to be on fill in the blank new platform, that is stressful for you. Even if you have a team, people behind you, it can feel like you're just like a piece of taffy being pulled so thinly. And you have to really decide what platforms are actually working for you. So for example, I have a client who constantly told me she wants to write a blog, but she hates writing. Like, why would you try to have a blog if you hate writing? I have another client who her struggle is with writing, totally different client. And she realized like she can just open up her phone and do a quick video and now turn it into a reel and it's done for her. And so where do you feel comfortable? That's another myth. Like you think you need to be everywhere, but you're actually not serving you or anybody because you can't keep up with it.
I think that is so true. I always like to say, and I tell this to my clients too, sometimes when I feel resistance to something, I say, here's the thing you got to know. It's just like when you go to the gym and they say, oh, I want to work on my abs, but you know what? I have a bad back and getting down on the floor and doing sit-ups just isn't going to work for me. If that trainer is a good trainer, they're going to say, oh, that's okay. We'll have you do a different exercise to work that muscle. So it doesn't mean that there's a one size fits all. This is it. This is the one thing you have to do. And just like your client 5 years ago, I realized that every time I sat down to write a blog, that I just couldn't do it because as a speaker, and not just because of that, but my brain would go so fast. I just couldn't type fast enough to keep up. And I hate every time I had to sit down to do it. It just really, I would get sick to my stomach. And I just said one day, I'm just not going to blog anymore. I just said, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to blog anymore. I'm a speaker. I'll talk. I'm just not going to do it. So I just decided, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to publish a magazine. And the magazine is going to come out quarterly instead of weekly or monthly. And now I only have to write an article every 3 months. I can write an article every 3 months. And so for the past 5 years, I have a magazine. And that literally took so much stress off of me. And to your point about less, it really does make sense because the bottom line is if you're building up and you're telling this whole big, long thing that you're teaching, the fact of the matter is by the time you get to the point, they're gone already.
Totally.
And I feel people want to know in snack size, little bites, what do I need to do now? I'll come see your next post that'll tell me what to do after that and what to do after that. And I know that I remember the days, I'm sure you do too, when people used to write these super robust, beautiful newsletters. And I would go and look at them and say, oh, this is some great content. Let me put this over here in this folder and I'm going to come back and read it. And of course, I never would get back there and read it. Whereas now I have people who literally sometimes in their newsletter, it's like a paragraph. And because it's only a paragraph and it tells me a story and they tie it back to whatever the point is that they're doing, like I read it, I love the story, I read the point that they were making out of it, and I move on. So I feel like we're shifting in the way that we have gone from this robust down to smaller snack size content. I think that in some ways we should embrace that and just be so thankful.
I love that you said we should embrace it because especially people who come from academia and now own their own business or who come from industry and now own their own business, it's very hard for them to feel like it's okay to say less and it's okay to not only say less, but also make it more formal because that's not how they were taught to be professional. But when we're talking marketing, that kind of languaging is so different. So another myth that I want to bust about this is you don't have to be stiff, and I'm putting air quotes around it, even though nobody can see professional, to be, and there's this stamp that you're supposed to be putting on of the authenticity and what does that mean? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But the more you that you can be in your content. And that doesn't mean bleed all over the internet and bring everybody into your gynecologist appointment with you. Like, authenticity doesn't mean that, but it doesn't have to be stiff. There's already a veil between you and your audience, right? And the more stiff your language is and the more formal it is, the bigger the chasm between you. And so if you can embrace that, this is the way it is today. You can rage against it all you like, but this, for marketing purposes, this is the way that people want to consume content. And I guarantee you there are people out there who still would love to write a 3,000 word blog, and there's probably still an audience for that, and it's rich with SEO. I get all of that, but it's depleting you to try to create that every single week. And it's depleting your audience because they can't keep up with you. So you're really doing not only yourself a favor, you're doing your audience a favor too.
Oh, I think that's really true. And I think also that you said something that I think really makes a lot of sense. Who are you even writing your content for? I know all the SEO people. I get it. And I understand SEO clearly. And I understand we have a need for that. But really think about, where are your target people getting their content? Look at your analytics. Are they actually staying on your website? The average time that people spend on a website is like 2 minutes or less. So are they really consuming your content there or not? Is that really, what are you using it for? Like, I figured out pretty quickly why people go to my website, how long they're there, and what are they consuming when they're there, and where should I actually spend my time? And when you are spending time on social, you have to know that you're competing against all those animal photos that everybody thinks are so cute and all those cute babies and all of those things. Stop the scroll is real. And you really want people to know that, yes, what you're going to say. I have a friend who says, be brief, be bright, be gone. Be brief, be bright, be gone. And so it is so funny. She's like, you can't say it in a sentence. That's really hard. And I had a therapist come on the show once, and she actually said that our mind can only take in about 20 words. And even like in an elevator pitch, 20 words. And she said, here's the challenge. After that, what happens is our mind starts striking out some of those words, and we don't control what they strike out. So if you can keep it to less than 20 words, then you get to control the narrative. If you go over, they're going to strike out the words, and they may be the words that are the most important words. So when she says that, I always in my mind now, I count to make sure that I can keep it to 15 to 17 words if I can. Now, it's not always what I have to do for what I'm doing, but I always have that in the back of my mind, like making sure that when possible that I do that.
Say less, right? Always come, say it can less. Come back to that every time. And what we can talk about here, I think this is a great place to shift into. You're vying for attention on whatever platform it is you're using. So what I'm going to talk about today is very relevant. A lot of people equate content with social media. Social media is a tool that we use to share our content. So I'd really love to disabuse people of thinking like, oh, she's talking about content, so she must be talking about TikTok or Instagram. I'm not. I'm talking about, where do you love to be and where are your people, right? That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, how are you showing up so that your audience can hear you with the words they need to hear? It's not what you want to talk about. It's what they need to hear. So that's another shift that people need to make. But what almost always will grab people's attention is talking and sharing value through a story. And this, I think, if people could learn more how to use story in a strategic way that relates to the audience, it makes it interesting for the audience so that they can gain your trust, learn more about you, and eventually hire you. But it's a long road. And storytelling is a great strategy for people to use. So we can talk about the different ways to tell stories. But if you're not using stories in your content now, what you might be doing is sharing a lot of, again, quote unquote, value by telling people what to do. Here are 3 steps to get a better night's sleep. Here are 7 things that a strong leader has. And you wind up teaching and teaching, and you don't find any conversions or engagement with that. And that's because your people, again, not only are they at capacity, maybe they've heard it before, but what they're doing with that is they're thinking, she's teaching me the hows. This is so awesome. I need the hows. I'm going to save this for later and go back to it because I don't have time right now. And of course, if anybody's listening, like you and me, and I do the same thing, I never go back to that kind of stuff. But if you can engage them with a story and get them thinking critically about the thing that you want to teach them, it's much more impactful to them and they will remember it more. It will become like part of them. They're like, oh, I remember that story you told about X, Y, and Z. And then they're engaged with your content.
Or they know somebody they want to share it with. But I think that really, if somebody that's listening is questioning that, there is a reason why everywhere, even Instagram, where you can just click and save it. Guess what? If you pick up your phone and go to your saved collection on your phone, how many things do you have saved? I have so many saved. And whenever sometimes I'm thinking about content, I just go to my saved for inspiration. But you don't always go back and look at them, but you save them though. And so the thing is, if you're doing it, then your people are probably doing it as well. So you're right. That three things, seven things, whatever, I think that does make a lot of sense. But I think that we've been told for a long time, you need to add value. You need to add value. You need to add value. And that's what we keep hearing. And so that's why people think I need to shove as much value as I can so that you can see that I give valuable information so you'll hire me. But they've probably moved on.
Well, what I want to say about the value piece is if you've shared value by telling something educational, giving all the steps away. I'm not even talking about like, you feel like you're being generous, you're giving, but it's not valuable if people aren't using it. That's not creating value, number one. Number two, when you give away so much of the hows, your audience gets lulled into thinking that they should be able to do this on their own. Oh, look, there it is. Patty told me right there, the three things that I should be doing to be a better, more speaking gigs or be a better leader or whatever it is. She's telling me right there, why can't I do this? And that's because we know as experts, people really need their hands held. They need more than information. So it's almost setting your audience up for failure if you are only focused on all of that how-to valuable content.
That is so true. And I actually learned it the hard way, I guess, more the humbling way, maybe I should say that. So I am an educator at heart, right? So when I became a speaker, and I was a trainer before I became a speaker, right? So when I became a speaker, they would always say, oh, yes, give your speech and then leave this time at the end for Q&A. And I have to tell you, in the history of my career, and I have been a speaker for 13 years, I have never had anybody ask me a question in Q&A. I actually finally don't even do Q&A anymore, because the fact of the matter is like nobody would ever ask any questions and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't think like, why I'm so approachable? Why would somebody not ask me? And I finally started asking people, like not from the stage, obviously, but I would ask them like, you didn't have any questions? And pretty soon people finally got brave enough. They would say to me, like, Patty, you gave us so much information. I needed to go implement all that information before I took in any other information. You're so generous with your brilliance and stuff. And I realized I was doing them a disservice because they probably weren't even going to start the things that I gave them because they were so overwhelmed by how much I gave them. And now I really realized, and it took me time. I got to tell you, it took me time I thought that's what I was being paid to do. That was the value I was bringing. And it took me a while for me to realize that they just needed to know what was the thing they need to get started or to take the next step and maybe the step after that. And that's all they really need. They'll come back to you after that and say, okay, Patty, I did that and it worked. And then I did that. What do I do next?
Say right? less, right? Right. It's so coming back to that say less.
Well, that's right. And if you do it, like you said, in a story, sometimes they don't recognize the thing, but they recognize it in a story. So I really feel like you're just really nailing it right now. And I think it is important. And I have to tell you, it was really hard and humbling for me to get that because I just really felt like my philosophy at that time was like, if people could see, so if anybody, I don't know, if you resonate with this, tell me. But how I was taking it was that if I'm going to give you this much value for free, how much value would I give you if you wrote me a check? I thought that was really like what I was saying. They'd be like, oh my gosh, look at all this that she taught us. And we didn't even have to pay for that. So man, if I hired her, can you imagine? And really that's not true. So that really is just not true. Makes you feel good.
Yes.
And that's when this is what I think happens. Then I'll turn it back over to you because I really want to hear what you have to say. But I'm always going to say, if what you're hearing from people all the time are compliments having people tell you how brilliant you are, having people say all of those things, but they're not hiring you, you've just given them too much to consume.
Yeah.
So do you want compliments or cash?
I've even learned this, and this might be helpful for people in your audience. Even inside my membership, which is the Content Creators Studio, where every single month I teach an element of content creation to make it easier. Even in there, I have found that the trainings, now you might use the word dumbed down if you were coming from academia, which is where I came from, and oh, I have to dumb it down for people, but it's not. It's a gift for me to only, I just did a training last month on how to write your about page. And as I was going through creating the training, I'm like, oh my God, this is way too much for them. They're going to feel totally overwhelmed by this. They're not going to be able to take action. So I taught them how to create the first part of your about page. And even that for them was like, what? Oh my God, this. And then they got to doing it. So everywhere in our lives, we can benefit ourselves and our audience from saying less. And it doesn't mean you're not bringing the value. It means that you're giving people the opportunity to have a tangible success.
And I think that is really probably true for most of life. Because I remember that when I had teenagers, and I would tell them, do this and do this, I couldn't tell them more than three things. If I told them five things, they would come back and like, their brain just couldn't hold five things. I would actually say, what did I just tell you to do? So I know that you heard me. And then they'll repeat them back to me. And then they'll come back 15 minutes later and like, oh, I forgot to whatever. So really it doesn't, I'm not saying that we're teenagers, but the fact of the matter is there's a lot going on in our brain at the same time. And I think some of it for me anyway, I can only speak for me, but if you're a creative and I'm very creative, once people start teaching it and telling me, part of the reason I can't take any more after that is because as soon as they start the first thing, part of my brain is listening. And the other part of my brain is thinking about how I'm going to implement the thing that they told me first. Some people may be detail oriented. And for them, it's all about making sure they have all the details right before they would start. But whatever it is, we all have different communication styles and how we take in information. But you're right. I would always do that. I think the greatest thing that happened to me when I used to go to events all the time, I had a friend who could type at the speed of sound, literally every word, even the ums she could get as they were saying it. She was that good of a typist. And when we would go to events, she would be typing and I'd be taking notes, trying to keep up. I'd miss things they're saying because I was trying to do it. And finally, one day she said to me, Patty, I'm going to tell you what, you're the best strategist I've ever met. So how about I take notes on what they're saying and you just take notes on strategy? So I never took notes anymore on that. And she actually taught me like a framework of how to just take ideas and strategies. And that's all I do now. And it just became such a beautiful thing for me to do that. And then I would share strategies. So I'd say strategies for me, strategies for her. And then she would just send me the notes and we would swap. Now we all don't have that person, but it did teach me very quickly what my strengths were and how I take in things. And so I know that a lot of times when I'm saying yes or when I'm saying no to things, how I choose whether I purchase or not, is it in the format that I know I'm the best at taking in? And so I think that we should be thinking about that when we're thinking about who are our right fit clients. How do they want to take it in too? So you're right. Less is more for sure. So now I really do want to talk about this side door stories.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. So when I hear stories, sometimes people, I think, take them into the gyno office was just probably the best way I've ever heard somebody say that. Like my gut was just like belly laughing when you said that. But it is true. We all know how some people will just, the stuff that they will share under the guise of being vulnerable and authentic. You could tell your story, but some of the detail is really a lot. And when I hear that, even when it really touches my heart and I'm thinking, oh, I just want to give them a hug right now. I want to call them on the phone. I want to pray for them. Like whatever the case may be, for me, that doesn't always mean I'm going to hire them. One thing has nothing to do with the other. But usually I'm thinking, man, were you brave and stuff though. So I'm not saying that I don't think people should be authentic and vulnerable at times, but at the same time, I think less could be more as well in some of those things. Like, so really the other flip of that is I've also had clients come to me and say, Patty, I don't have any stories to share. I just really honestly, I haven't had this great triumphant thing that happened to me. I haven't gone through something and came out the other side. I haven't had this horrible tragedy thing happen to me. I've just had just a well-balanced, regular life. What kind of stories can I share?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. First of all, let's define side door stories, though, because I love it.
So there's lots of different ways to tell stories. There's your basic story, which I call a front door story. You walk in the house, you have a story to tell. An example of a great example of a front door story is, here's a client's success story. Let me tell you, Bob, this is where she started. This is where she is now. This is what happened in the middle. Like, it's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's very clear, like, why I'm telling this story. In the front of your podcast, you asked me, tell me your story. So I started with, I was a teacher, then I moved into entrepreneurship, and then I shifted, and here I am today. That's like what I call, it's very basic, right? It's an easy to see story. I've told you that I'm going to tell you a story. Here's the story. And you followed along very easily. It's an obvious way to tell stories. This is a totally acceptable way to tell stories. But what happens as a content creator is sometimes you get a little bored with telling those kinds of stories and you want to get to the next level of storytelling, or you want to play around with it, because I'm going to tell you, you will get bored with your content way before your audience will get bored with your content. So you have to come up with ways to tell stories in a more interesting way. And that's where I came up with the idea of side door stories. And it sounds like it's more complicated, but once you get the hang of it, I promise you, you can use this. The first thing you have to kind of buy into is that everything is content. Everything is a potential story. And going to Target is a potential story. I had the cable guy come last week to deal with some of our stuff with our internet. And I like immediately started seeing stories that I could tell to my audience. So I'll break this down for you, but I want you to think of this as a less obvious way for you to make connections to your audience. And there's ways to do it. And I'm going to break those down too. A side door story. I want you to start to think about the topics for your audience that are probably pretty important for them. Like for most people, especially in the coaching space, I could list a bunch of things that are applicable to almost everybody's audience. Boundaries, confidence, kindness or inner critic, communication, self-care, like almost every coach is going to be talking about those things. And I'm going to tell you, if you're always coming into a story about boundaries, talking about boundaries, you're going to get bored of your own content and it won't resonate with your audience. So I'm going to take boundaries for example. Every single morning, my dog begs for his breakfast, but the cat also likes to eat from his dish and it drives him bonkers. And so before he will submit to eating his own meal in his own dish, which he desperately wants, he has to like stop himself from eating and circle the perimeter of the house three times to make sure she's not going to encroach on his breakfast, nor can he stand for her to even watch him. So he has to do this thing. He can't tolerate it. So he makes this very clear boundary in his little teeny tiny dog world about his stupid breakfast bowl. And he does not apologize for it, even though the rest of us are going, Max, give me a break. You're such a ding dong. Like we're all like teasing him. He obviously doesn't understand, but like this is his instinctual way of holding a boundary for himself. And so that would be a way to talk about boundaries in a way that like is a little bit funny, lets your audience know a little bit about your life, and just gets them seeing this idea of holding space without it being like, I'm going to talk about boundaries now. How does that sit with you?
It sits really well and I love it, but I have a question.
Sure.
So my question would be, if we're just going to use that exact example. So if somebody used that exact example happen, would you feel the need or would you need to then tie the story to a business principle?
For me, yeah. Like you definitely want to tie it to a business principle and or whatever principle. If you're a health coach, you want to tie it to your health coaching. Whatever it is, you want to tie it back so your audience doesn't have to do the work of extrapolating the lesson in it. And this is way easier than you think it should be. And the way that I like to do, it's really, I just call them trail markers, basically. So along the way, while you're telling the story, or when you're ready to transition into the lesson after you've told your little story, it's something like, this is a great example of blah, blah, blah. Or you might see this happening in your marketing also, or this kind of thing is why it's also important for you to blah, blah, blah with your sleep cycles or whatever it is you're talking about. Just a little phrase moves you from this abstract, like, why the hell is she telling me this thing? In fact, why are you telling me this thing is another great transition into the more practical piece of the story. But all you need is one little bridge statement that gets people from your little story. And I'm talking about a dog and a cat eating breakfast, right? This is not from the depths of humanity moment, right? There's nothing here where
But when you were talking about boundaries, this is what I'm going to say I felt. I love the story. I leaned into the story. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, this was so great. But then when you got to the end of the story, I realized that you're actually teaching us something right now. I thought to myself, oh, that's really great. And because it's about boundaries and you say that, I was waiting for you to say, and some of you may be feeling this in your business. What do you do that maybe you're setting up a boundary, or what is something that is there a boundary that your client needs to have? Or so, like, to me, I'm like, okay, I'm a business person and I'm connected to you on business. You're not my best friend. So it's not like my best friend told me that story so she could end it there and I'd laugh and it'd be a story. If I'm in business, now I'm thinking, okay, how are you tying it into something? So yep. To me, it's about boundary. Now I want to hear the lesson.
Right. So then my job, what I shared in the beginning story part was just the setup. It's just to hook you. It's just to get you leaning in and saying, oh, my dog does this too. Or you start to think about it, visualize it. But then my job as the content creator is to make that leap for you. And what you said was, so how might this resonate in your business right now? Or how might this be resonating, say that I worked with like family dynamics? How might this be resonating with your family right now or whatever it is? And that is your job as the content creator. And I just want to say, as content creators, we have a heavy lift. We have to come up with the story, make it interesting, and then we have to make the leap for our audience because they shouldn't have to extrapolate what's the lesson here for me to apply to this thing.
You know what you did that I really love, which was almost like another myth buster, really, whether you realize it or not, is that when I said what I said, which was, you told us that story. I loved it. I was waiting, which obviously you were stopping because you were going on with what we were going to talk about. And then I was like, okay, now she's going to tie that into boundaries. So here's the thing that popped into my head when I was listening to you say that is, before we had this conversation, I would have thought if somebody was going to do that on social, then now I want them to draw the story for me of the boundary. Like, now's the business piece. But the way that you left it open-ended reminded me of how when I'm a speaker, I don't want to tell the whole story because I want them to be in the story thinking about fill in the blanks. Oh, here I'm telling you the story about the dog and the cat. How is could this be happening in yours? And their brain will fill in that spot versus me having to teach the business lesson that may resonate with some people, but may not resonate with some people. But if they fill in the blank of how the story relates to something in their business, you get more buy-in because it's their story now too.
It's like your brain, when you are asked a question, your brain can't help but fill in the answer. So let me give you another example. So remember I told you that the cable guy came last week? There's so many things that happened when this cable guy came. He blew away my expectations of what usually happens when the cable guy comes. He went throughout our entire house and he found all of the problems that we were having. He found splitters all over the house. He found these things called amplifiers that weren't working anymore. It was like a nightmare mess. And the internet was really just like getting too hard. And no wonder it wasn't working. It was like split up into 1,000 places. And then the other thing that happened was I was looking at my whole cable system through the eyes of this person. And I was like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. This is a mess. And so just that one thing that happened alone, there's so many stories I could extrapolate from that. In your own content, for example, do you have splitters going off? Are you thinking something is an amplifier and it's really not working for you? Would you be better to upgrade to one platform where you can really lean into and have it do that hard work for you? That would be like, that could be a story that I pull out of here. Another story I could pull out of it would be, have you reviewed your message from your content messaging through the eyes of your audience? Are they seeing it the way that you're seeing it? Just like the cable guy was seeing the cable box and all of the nightmare of wires, the way that he was seeing it versus how I was seeing it. Like, oh my God, I have stopped seeing the landscape of these wires in my living room for years at this point. There's so many things. Is your customer service what people expect? Are they going to be pleasantly surprised? So what I mean is, like, anything as banal as the cable guy coming can, when you start to think about what your audience needs to learn and you start saying, how is this thing like this thing that I teach? And you start to, you can't stop yourself. You're like, oh my God, this thing happened when I was waiting for my kid in the bus line today. And it reminds me of this thing that my clients do. And then that becomes a story. And the more that you practice this, the better that you get at it. And it actually makes creating content for you way more fun. And it's way more fun for your audience to read that kind of stuff too.
And I think the other thing it does is, I think old school marketing strategy that a lot of people are still doing is that they've been told that there should be a call to action in every single thing you do. So every single thing, like you read to the end and then it's get on a call with me or go click on this or buy this or whatever the case may be. But I actually really feel that when you tell stories, it gives me like a lens into who they are and are they the right vibe for me? So the reality is, whether they said book a call and click here or not, if I just got the right vibe and thought, oh my gosh, I love the way she does story, I think she could help me, they wouldn't even have to invite me. Mm-hmm. I would just know to go to their website. And I'm sure that if somebody does calls, discovery calls, there's probably a place on their website to do it. I don't have to see it in their social post. I could just go to their website and I could find it. So I think that the thing is that I know that last week I was talking about this thing with somebody else and I realized that the last three clients that hired me, I had never had a conversation with them and every one of them referenced something from my social. One of them was like, this thing I did on Instagram, of which she didn't even like or comment on. One of them was, I've been following this whole story thread that you've been talking about this on LinkedIn. And one of them was like, oh, I heard you speak like 5 years ago, but then I saw you post something and it reminded me of what you spoke about. And then they all contacted me and all three of them hired me and in all in the same day too, which was coincidental. But with that said, it's interesting. Don't think for one second that whether people are engaging with you or not engaging, they are still listening. They're still seeing. And so when people get to see you as a person who is also an expert, there's a lot of experts that do what you do. They're choosing to work with a person who has your expertise. And you need to show up as the person first, the expert second.
The other thing is when you ask somebody a question like, how is this like the boundary situation that's going on in your business? Or how is this, or what can you do this week to think about blah, 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 whatever the point or lesson you're trying to make is, that is a call to action. It's not pick up the phone and call me, but it is like, it's getting them focused on thinking again, more critically about a thing that they may have never linked before. And they may never have felt safe enough to ask before. So sometimes when you come in through the side door and you present something in a kind of softer way, a more entertaining way, it is value. And also it might get them thinking like, oh my God, I never thought about that before. And now I feel a little safer, a little not judged. Oh, this is happening to other people. Maybe now I'm a little bit more willing to take action on it.
I just think that is actually so much easier to think about instead of thinking, okay, I need to post something. What brilliant thing do I want to talk about? And then figure out how you're going to break that down into this many pieces and all that kind of stuff. Really, honestly, there's a million stories. I knew this girl once who used to tell the most amazing stories. And I asked her one time, I said, which comes first for you, the story or the lesson. And she says, no, I always just think about stories and stuff. And I remember one line. This is the one line that I remember. And she was talking about, and she was Italian and she was like in her 30s and hadn't got married yet. And so she's telling this story about how her mother went to this nuns and asked them to pray for her daughter to find a husband and whatever. But the funniest part about it was, is she said that when she was done with the time that they were supposed to pray for her, she said, my mom had to decide, was she going to renew the subscription? It was so funny the way she like took that and said, is she going to renew the subscription? Because I still hadn't found her husband, or was she going to ask them to upsell her into a better package? It was so funny how she took that funny story with the nuns and made it all be about upselling and sales and subscription. It was so hilarious that literally I probably heard that story like 10 years ago and I've never forgotten it. I thought it was like so funny. But the reality is she never gave an answer. Like she just tied the two things together and it was so entertaining. So I think it is really, I think I like side door stories even better than front door stories, I think.
They're really fun once you start to get them. One of the things I want to share with anybody who's listening is you don't have to be funny. Like you might be thinking like, I'm not clever. I'm not funny. I'm not a good storyteller. My mother told me I was always a crappy storyteller. Like you can learn how to do this. The best way to learn how to do this is by like reading good stories and just asking yourself, how is this like that? And because we've talked so much today about say less, your stories don't have to be long or epic or highly detailed, right? Like some people get real mired down in the details, but the more light, connective, relational you can keep your stories. And if you just start asking your brain the really good questions, how is this like this other thing? And again, you might start with the story like, oh, the cable guy came. I'm telling you, the minute the cable guy came, my brain started working overtime on stories I could share with my audience. And then the others that you could reverse engineer. Oh, I want to teach my audience about doing less. Okay, where can I find examples in my life of that lesson? So you can reverse engineer it. You really can go back and forth either way. There's no one right way to do it, but start training your brain and you're going to be shocked at how much goodness it brings you.
I have to tell you, this has just been phenomenal, Jen. I really do. I have to tell you, I love storytelling. I even think this would be something if you're a speaker and a lot of people who listen to my podcast are speakers. This is really a good way to be able to pull in these side door stories in your speech too. Because a lot of times when we're speaking, you tell a story, you got to take them through the whole loop and you got to take them out of the mucky muck and bring them back. Yeah. These side door stories really help to expand your thoughts. And even though you're saying less, but you're saying less, but they're thinking more. Yeah. So I really like that. So thank you so much for taking your time today, really, to be with us, because this has just been fabulous.
I'm really glad that you are so excited by it. And I hope every single person listening feels as excited about telling a little tiny story. It does not have to be epic, but I just want to encourage everybody listening to think about how this is like that and how can I share it with my audience.
That is just such a great takeaway. And as if that's not enough, audience, she actually came bearing a gift. So her gift is actually going to help you too. So tell everybody about your gift.
Yeah. One of the things I found over and over for people who create content is the planning gets in their way. For lots of reasons. It feels very overwhelming. They have so much to say. They're too creative to plan, all of those things. So I created a customized content planner because I just saw over and over crappy planners out there, like a big sheet of blank squares. I'm like, that is not helpful if somebody doesn't know how to plan content. So I created the customized content planner that brings you through literally how to get your ideas out of your head, plan them out, and then wring more out of them so that it goes farther. And you can download the customized content planner at jenliddy.com/content planner.
Yes. And we have that link right below too. So it'd be really easy. You just have to push a button. But I know everyone's going to want to connect with you. So how can they connect with you?
Just simply go to my website, jenliddy.com. Everything is
right. Oh, look at that. They can connect with you and get the content planner all in the same place. So that's really great. And as if you didn't give us enough information, it was so great. And I love that it's like, you gave us less, but more. Like you managed to just actually do that for us. This is the Marketing Media Money podcast though. So we always like to end the show with asking you, what is your number one marketing media or money strategy?
It's not going to surprise you, but I'm a teacher. I have 2 master's degrees in education. So my favorite way to market is to actually teach people things that give them value that they can take action on right away, give them a small win. So my strategy, you'll find me, I use tactics like social media. I have a podcast called Content Creation Made Easy. But when it comes down to nurturing somebody to convert them to be a client, I almost always either get them by referral or it's the teaching, because once people understand, like, it just can be a lot more easy, they want that. They want more of that.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that's really a great strategy to use. So again, thank you so much, Jen, for being here with me. You guys make sure you go grab the planner make sure you connect with her. I have to tell you, she has a lot of great information on her website. She actually made the planner editable, which I think is really wonderful. I wish everybody did that. That is really great. So you put some thought into that as well. So I really appreciate you being here with me today.
I appreciate you giving me a platform to share this with people. So thank you so much, Patty.
Thank you. And to the audience, thank you so much for being here again with us. I love that you show up week after week. So I really appreciate it. If you're joining us for the first time, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I'm sure you did. Please subscribe so you don't miss any more great information and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And while we're thanking people, I couldn't go without thanking our sponsor, Meg Schmidt. She's the founder of Take the Leap Franchise Consulting Company. Did you know the franchise industry is booming as people look to diversify their income streams with essential businesses without having to quit their day job? So to learn more and to schedule a call, go to megschmitz.com. The conversation is free, but the insights are priceless. So thank you so much for being here. Hope you have a phenomenal week. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.